It is 20 to 10. It is time for our weekly UN roundup with Margot Cray. She joins me on the line. Morning, Margot.
Good morning, Kat.
So let's jump over. First of all, we're looking at Lebanon and UNICEF. What have you got for us?
Right. So ongoing hostilities in southern Lebanon are taking a devastating toll on the population, forcing around 90,000 people, including 30,000 children, from their homes. So last week, UNICEF in Lebanon released a new report, which is called Caught in the Crossfire, the impact of 6 months of conflict on children in Lebanon. And it's identified a surge in humanitarian needs across the country. So just some key figures from the report, as well as those 30,000 children who have now been displaced. 100,000 people are being denied access to safe drinking water due to the attacks on water infrastructure. And the current conflict has also aggravated a pre-existing education crisis in Lebanon. So 700,000 children in Lebanon were out of school, and now in southern Lebanon, following the recent violence, 70 more schools have closed. So Etty Higgins from UNICEF gives a snapshot on how desperate the situation is for some of these families.
So indeed, we're seeing families now, they're sending the entire family out for begging. They're forcing children as young as four to work in agriculture. Of course, this means that their overall health and well-being is being impacted. I spoke to a doctor recently who said that he had seven-year-olds coming to him with back problems because of the heavy loads of trash that they're carrying on a daily basis. And this is to earn maybe $2 per day just to be able to eat and put a meal on the table. So these stories, unfortunately, are getting more and more frequent and more and more severe and tragic.
That's really shocking to hear there what Etty Higgins was saying from UNICEF. We're looking at people really on the poverty line.
That's right. So almost half of the Lebanese population is living below the poverty line. And an estimated 90% of Syrian refugee households live in extreme poverty. So almost all of them. So as you can imagine, this dire situation is having a profound impact on the mental health of children and their families. 47% of Palestinian parents in Lebanon were showing signs of anxiety in their children. That was another statistic from the report. And the report also reiterates that a permanent ceasefire is essential, especially for the country's 3.2 million children.
Okay, let's jump over and take a look at heavy rainfall and flooding in East Africa. I actually have to admit that I've been watching this on social media and seeing quite a lot of pictures. They're incredibly shocking, some of the images that I'm seeing of the extreme flooding. But what we're looking at with the UN is that it's forcing thousands of refugees from their homes.
Yeah, that's right. So this is from the perspective of UNHCR, the refugee agency. So refugees are really suffering in this heavy rainfall, and they've been caught up in the El Nino-triggered rains and severe flooding sweeping across East Africa. So in Kenya, nearly 20,000 people in the Dadaab refugee camps have been displaced due to the rising waters. And around 32,000 refugees in Burundi have been living in areas affected by floods. And many in the capital, including refugees and Burundians, have had to relocate multiple times as water levels continue to rise. So UNHCR is on the ground working closely with the local authorities and partners. They're rushing aid and providing protection services to refugees and affected communities living nearby. They're providing items such as tarpaulins, mosquito nets, dignity kits, soap and jerrycans. And they're also helping families relocate to safer locations until the waters recede. So sadly, this is a result of climate change, which is making many parts of the world, especially in fragile regions like East Africa, extremely uninhabitable. Mm. And UNHCR has underscored the need for funding to reach those who've been forcibly displaced and to the communities who are supporting them, and also for a focus on early action and preparedness plans to combat these devastating impacts of climate change.
Absolutely. Okay, let's also just take a look, whilst we've got you, at the anniversary of the International Federation of the Red Cross. It's the anniversary coming up this week.
That's right. So the International Federation of the Red Cross, or the IFRC for short, will celebrate its anniversary of its foundation on Wednesday, the 8th of May, and this is known as Day. So this will mark 161 years since the IFRC was created, and it's the world's largest humanitarian movement. And this date of May 8th was chosen because it's the anniversary of the birth of the founder of the Red Cross, Henri Dunant, who is actually from Geneva. So there's going to be a variety of activities organized to celebrate the work of the organization. And one of these will be a Red Cross village in Place du Rhône in Geneva. And this will run for 5 days from May 8th to May 12th. And it'll be staffed with volunteers and really is an opportunity for the public to learn more about the actions carried out by the various institutions of the Red Cross movement and their work. So kind of like another open house, similar to the one at Balexer. And also in Geneva on the 8th of May, the Jeu d'eau will turn red as a tribute to this special day. So if you see it red, that's why.
That's why. All right, we'll look out for it. As sometimes when it turns different colours, I'm thinking, wait, what's this related to? Now
yeah,
I know in
exactly.
advance.
Yeah, exactly. Today we'll know. On Wednesday we'll know.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Margot Cray from the United Nations, for giving
Thank
us a little
Kat.
Roundup of what's going on. We'll catch up same time next week.
Speak soon. Bye.